Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. How many were they there? Please go back a little bit. How many were they there? Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and two other. All right, five. Next verse. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught thousands. How many? Nothing. All right, next verse. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, I'm wondering, when I read this story, I'm wondering how old Jesus was, or the structure of Jesus at this time. You know, each time I read and I see him call them children here, like, he must have, could it be that he really disguised that they could not perceive, or he was just still the normal himself, but understanding was veiled to them. Is that possible? Huh? So he said, children, do you have any meat? What was the answer? No, sirs. And he said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Like, we all know. I mean, like, Peter has been in the business from maybe age five, following his father, his grandpa, to the sea, for this sea and fishing business. And so it is already established, if you are in the people from Ondo State, the Ilaje areas, right? Am I correct? Igbokoda. Do you know so much? Have you lived around that area before? Okay. But you know that for fishermen, the best time for them is not afternoon. True or false? What was their best time? It's around midnight. And the way she said 12 meter, it's night. The fishing business is best done at night. Do you know why? I think it's just, they taught us in physics. Who are the physics students here? The temperature of the water at that time is cool, so the fishes will come up to the surface to, you know, play and all of that. And so, but Jesus, the scripture says they did all of that through the night. Even one like this, they no catch. Hallelujah. And Jesus came in the morning when, of course, if you are into the fishing business, that's the time that people are already gathering, packing their net, like, I don't do nights. Make I go sleep for house so that by evening I will come do night shift again, right? So Jesus, Bible says, at that morning, I mean, that very morning, Jesus asked them, do you have any meat? And they said, no, Baba, we don't get anything. And he told them, he said, cast thy net onto the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were able to draw. How many? They were not able to draw it, for they were how many? Multitude of fishes. Multitude. So meaning that not just one variety, I mean one species now. Different species, right? You see that later on in this verse, scripture gave us the number of fishes that they caught. So therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, who was that? John. He said unto Peter, this man will tell us, hey, Moku. They have told us this thing, and it happened. It must be Jesus. You see, discernment works well with love. Hallelujah. Do you think it is too much? Do you think it is luxurious for scriptures to tell us that disciple that he loved, emphasis on the he loved. He could have just said, John, we'll save space and time. But he said, that disciple that whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, what did he do? Quickly covered himself. Then Baba did to bloom. You know, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. The next verse. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were, 200 cubits, that was the distance from the land, dragging the nets with fishes. Next verse. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which you have now caught. But there was fish already on the fire. And he asked them, he said, the one you have now caught, bring it. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land. Of course, you know, see, the muscle sit there now. Pulled the thing to the land. It was great, full of great fishes. 153. And all that were so, for all there, please, can you give me King James? I'm struggling with this. New King James, sorry. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land. It's easier. Full of large fish. 153. Although there were so many, the net was not even broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, Baba, who you be? Who are you? Somebody said it in French. You said what? Bros J. Okay, Bros J. They couldn't ask him, Bros J, is this you? They already knew that it was the Lord. You can't be around Jesus and not know that he's the one. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto them, come and eat breakfast. Nobody was able to ask. Verse 13. He took the bread, he gave it to them. Likewise, the fish. Baba is doing Passover again. You know, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15. Now, this is where we are really going to. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. You know, when somebody calls you by your full name, you get why? And this is not the first time that Jesus will be calling Simon Peter by his name, Simon. I hope I'm not running ahead of myself. So he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved. Of course, even if it was you, don't you think you already be like, to what intent is all of this? Do you love me? Baba, go straight to the point. Tell me what exactly. So Bible says he was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You see, all of these responses are actually different. But if you're just reading it, you think they are all the same. And so for Jesus to be asking him for three consecutive times what appears to be the same question, if you're reading like this, you think they are the same question, is coming from somewhere. Jesus was coming from somewhere. Hallelujah. 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 Now, let's understand where Jesus was coming from. Why Jesus was asking the same, what appears to be the same question three times. Let's go to John chapter 13 and verse 37. John chapter 13 and verse 37. Pastor Tokwe. John chapter 13 and verse 37. Do we have John 13, 37? Peter said to him, now, let me give you a backstory to this story. Jesus was already preparing their mind that, hey, I'm going somewhere. Now you cannot go with me. But I'm going to prepare. You remember the story? I'm going to prepare a place for you and you guys, myself. So I'm going to prepare a house. And while Jesus was still speaking, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? And you know, this is peculiar with children, especially if you have toddlers. They want it now, 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 now. They are asking you questions. Who understands what I'm... They are asking you, like, why can't I have it? Tell them, you can't have these cookies now. They will tell you, I want it now. Why? That question, why? In fact, philosophers or psychologists said they can ask you why in 1 hour, like 400 times. That was what was being displayed by our senior apostle here, Apostle Peter. Thank you, sir. He said, Lord, why can I not follow you now? Jesus had not said many things. So he says, but Peter was already running. He says, I will lay down my life for your sake. Like, Baba, what did I say? Where are you going into? What have I said? I said, where I'm going to. You cannot follow me now. Peter was already saying, I want to follow you now. He says, I will lay down my life for your sake. Verse 38. Jesus answered him, Bonkbi. What's Bonkbi again? Calm down. Bonkbi. But Jesus answered him with a question. Peter, will you lay down your life for my sake? What was his response? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Hallelujah. Did Peter deny Jesus 3 times or not? So when Jesus asked him the first time, Peter, do you love me more than this? He asked him the second time, do you love me more than this? The third time, do you love me more than this? Jesus was making reference. Now remember, after this was like the last time they had together with Jesus. After this event here, it was that Jesus went to pray. He asked him, asked them to pray with him. What did they do? They all slept, right? After that, Jesus was taken. You remember all of those, the series of events that happened. Now, all of those things happened. Peter had denied Jesus. And so, Jesus had been crucified. And it felt like, to your tent, O Israel. Everybody don't go back to him. Former self, the former business, the former enterprise. And so you remember, when we started reading John 21, who said he was going back to fishing first? It was Peter. All the while, when Jesus was there, was he doing fishing business? No, he wasn't doing fishing business. So he had gone back. Jesus was no longer, business, no show again. So everybody, let's go back to the business. Okay, so me, I'm going for a fishing. Hallelujah. So he went back to his business and there was nothing like, okay, Jesus is no longer around. Let's go and evangelize. Let's go and preach. Let's even look at the law of Moses. Let's go to the, there was nothing like that again. Baba was already like, I still remember, say, that my net, see the way I keep them now. He went, washed the net. Because we didn't, none of us asked the boat they used, who owned it. Did we ask that? The net they used, who owned it? It was for Peter. Hallelujah. So when Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me more than this? And when Peter was saying, Lord, you know, I want to follow you now. Anywhere you are going to, I want to follow you. I will lay down my life for you. At that moment, when Peter was making all of those statements, he was making it, permit me to use the word I want to use that. He was making it in the flesh. He was making it out of overconfidence. Hallelujah. So, and Jesus knew that. That was why Jesus asked him, like, are you sure you'll be able to lay down your life for me? You know, it's just like some of the songs we are singing. If you pause a little bit after singing those songs, and you allow the Spirit of God minister to you, you will know that some of those things you are proclaiming in that song, they are beyond you. Hallelujah. If you ponder on the lyrics, so that's why sometimes we are singing songs, I wait first, let me understand these lyrics. No, it is so, I want to understand the lyrics first. What is the level of the commitment? So when Jesus asked him the question again, are you sure you'll be able to lay down your life for me? Let me give you another place where you will see the display of overconfidence in Peter. Let's open. There was a place where he said, even if every other person, please let me search for that place. He said, even if every other person deserts you, you can count on me. Help me search for that place. Okay. Matthew chapter 26. Give me 26:33. I want to tell you what I'm trying to drive out in this place is that you can't follow the Lord with your own energy. That's the first point I want to drag here. Bring to rest. That, you know, sometimes, Pastor said this thing sometimes ago, that when you know when somebody has money in this account, I don't know if how many people can remember, the way the person responds to worship, praise and worship, there will be energy. How many of us are, you understand this thing? Like, you know that after today's service, I'm going back, there's pounded yam at home, there's a goosey, like, okay, my T-fare to work this week is covered, I have data. Do we understand what I'm saying? Like, there's a way you dig it, you stand up, you do all the energy and all of that. Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said unto him, the same discourse, but what happened in John, we are reading from another account in Matthew now. Peter answered and said unto him, can we read it together? Can we read it together? One, two, go. And you see this thing that Peter did, we still do it in church today. We still compare ourselves with another person. Even if Pastor Tope denies me, I go see stay. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Very subtle. If Yvonne says she knows if you do it again, me, I'll still do. You are boasting on your own energy. It's just like somebody who is saying, I can never fornicate. And he's saying, while he's saying, I can never fornicate, he's not saying it because he's resting on the power of the Holy Ghost. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Somebody is saying, I can never steal. Maybe they've not brought the money. All the money around you has always been the money that you can afford. Do you understand what I'm saying? If it's, maybe you can afford $20,000, I cannot steal $20,000, how do I say? But by the time they bring $1 million and you do it, nobody will know. So the person who is saying, I can never steal, I can never do it, I can never fornicate, then they now arrange the test. The person who says, I can never steal, is now the one who is saying, and let me tell you something. I've been there. Those things that you claim in the flesh and you said you will never do, when we did those things, it was difficult for us to rise. Did you hear what I'm saying? It was what? It was difficult because on two fronts now. Personally, you feel too ashamed because you have declared publicly that I can never do this thing. But you have done it. So you don't know how to redeem yourself. On the other hand of God, too, you are looking like I'm too dirty. But let me tell somebody here tonight. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what vows between you and God you have broken. Peter denied. Jesus told him, are you sure you'll be able to do this? And he said, yeah, I'll be able to do it. But eventually Peter failed. And he felt like there was no hope for him again in the kingdom. What did he do? He went back to his fishing business. I'm telling somebody, don't give up on God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You feel like you are too dirty, like, I've done this thing, I can't stand up again. That was, I believe, and you see, the interesting thing here, Jesus did not just go to meet Peter privately. He came in the midst of other disciples to come and say, yes, this guy messed up, but I still need him. He's still the man for the job. Hallelujah. You know, they will tell you, he who is down needs not to be afraid of, fears no fall. That's what the devil is telling you. And for somebody who is saying, well, I've made this mistake, I can't rise up again, Jesus is speaking to you this evening. Yes, you have messed up, but can you run back to Jesus? Can you run back to Jesus? Jesus is opening. Don't say, oh, I've done it, I'm too dirty, I'm too this. That was why Jesus came. He came to rescue people who are dirty. He said, I've come for the sick. So if there's anything you have done that you feel like you can't receive forgiveness, Jesus is here for you. Hallelujah. So the first question, when Jesus asked him, do you love me more than this? At that first question, you see the word love there, it's talking about agape love. And let me, there are about two or three words there. There's agape love, there's filio, which is brotherly love. Eh? Philadelphia. You see all those philly, F, I say F. PH is talking about love. So when Jesus spoke at first, Peter, do you love me more than this? Jesus was asking him, do you have 100% love for me? And what was his response? By this time, Peter had already realized that he messed up and that he needed help. Peter did not use that word when he was saying, I can give. You see, agape love means that you can give, I can give my life for Anna too. True or false? That is the purest form of love. That is an unconditional, and that is the love that Jesus Christ are shown to us believers. So when Jesus first asked him, this agape love way that you said before, that you were saying that I can give my life for you, can you still give it now? Do you know the response of Peter? Please, can you go back to that verse 17? No, the first time. Go back to that first time. He said, do you love me more than this? This love here is talking about that 100% love. But by the time our brother was going to respond, yes, Lord, you know that you see this love here is different from this love here. This one was talking about filio. Like, he not even had to say it in a way. He said, you know. That word know there is experiential, like, Lord, you know. You know, I mean, you know what I'm capable of. I'm no longer hiding before you. I am open. I mean, you can read me. You know my frailties. You know my weaknesses. By the second time when Jesus was going to ask him, he asked him the same question. Agape. Agapao me more than this. Do you love me more than this? Can you still give your life that you said that other time? Can you still give it? He still used the same thing. By that time, Jesus already saw the brokenness of Peter. He now came back. That was the third time. He now came back to his level. He now used the same word. He said, do you love me more than this? So at that time, he already saw that Peter was already broken, that when you say, Jesus, I will follow you from now. I mean, what was that song? Till the end of time. God bless you. I like this recent version. If you call my name a million times, I will do what? I answer a million times. You will now realize, Peter already now realized that this one is not by the melodies in the song. And do you know the interesting thing? Jesus keeps calling at us every day. Every second, he's calling. So how many of us are yielding? Do you see? That was why I said, you see those lyrics. You have to follow. It's not from the energy of the flesh. It's not from the energy of the flesh. He said, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He said, we are not competent to think that we have achieved anything. Give me 2nd. I believe it's 2nd. Is it 2nd? Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. But they, You know, this was what Peter was doing at that time. What was he doing? He said, if every other person leave you, me, I see the ground, I see day here. And one of the things I've realized is that many times people who make statements like that, they are even the first to leave. They are the what? They are the first to leave. So you realize one of the things that this will teach you is that this thing is not by flesh. It's not because, and you know, a lot of us did that when they make altar call in secondary school those days, because Pastor Dave Olakunle went out, you too feel like, if I not go now, they go think, say, now maybe the sinner, oh yeah, let's go together. But the interesting thing is, we still do it today, but those that we have upgraded the version. We've upgraded the version. And let me bring it home. You know, the Holy Spirit was telling me, because you see this issue of self-confidence, we still practice it, and that's what I'm saying. We still practice it even till now. Somebody thinks, I'm using an example now, somebody thinks that why he has not fallen sick is because he's eating garlic, ginger, and all of those things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your faith is no longer resting in the power of God. Your faith is now resting in the power of the things you are consuming. You need to get your facts. You need to get back on track. Though ginger, garlic, and all of those herbs we consume, they help, right? But it is not, that is not what is keeping you. Because conversations, you see people saying, I can never do this again because I take this one like. Let your faith not rest in the things that men. Let it rest in the power of God. Let it what? Let it rest in the power of God. Your joy should not be dependent because they just pay salary now. Your joy should not be what? It should not be affected by the salary because you just saw a lot. Now, have you seen that worshiper that was singing song? He said he was singing low key. Then as he just swiped his phone like this, he saw a lot. He just went like highest notes. He just went and he began to use energy and all of that. This one, you don't understand yet the way of the, I know it's kid, but you don't yet understand the way of the Spirit. Because if you understand the way of the Spirit, you will know that it is not your salary that is sustaining you. Now, I want to give us an assignment. You go and look at, I don't know when they pay you your salary, but look at the last time they paid, this is the last week of the month, Abby. They just paid another salary, right? So look at your expenditure for the whole month of October. Your salary, can your salary cover for it? Huh? Can your salary cover for it? Many of us are spending beyond our salary, and God is still taking care. So have you ever asked God, this surplus, how did they take appear? Huh? So your don't be like the apostle here. Don't be like the man of God here. Of course, you retrace your step, right? But you can also retrace your own step this evening, so that your heart is not determined, your joy is not determined, it's not regulated by the things, by physical things. Yeah, I won't pay my tithe. As though is that one that you don't want to pay that will sustain you. You know, that's what we feel sometimes, like, if I don't pay this figure high, small, and I go, you now realize that at the end of the day, you will run into problem. You'll be like, you are even doing salary advance. I do all that thing from banks. Salary advance. So somebody said, I saw one, he said, he's not going to church. He said, why? He said, he's owing God money. He said, he's owing God money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the cause of Peter's denial was self-confidence. That was the cause of his fall. That was the cause of his fall. And what Jesus did, Jesus, I have here, I said, the way back to God begins with a broken heart. The way back to who? To God is a broken heart. The way back to God is a broken heart. God's forgiveness always comes with another chance. And that was what Jesus gave Peter. If there was no second chance, Jesus would have just allowed Peter to continue the fishing business. True or false? He would have just continued the fishing business. But because the God we serve is not even just God of second chance, multiple. Now, another interesting point I have here. Now, several times in the Bible, Jesus referred to Peter as Simon. And do you know why? What's his name? Simon Peter. Simon. It was Jesus who gave him the name Peter. Huh? Peter means what? Okay, please. Stable, stability, rock, solid. Have you checked what Simon means? Quickly check. What's the meaning of Simon? Unstable. But please still check. Verify. Unstable. So each time Peter did something, and I have about three instances where Peter did things that when Jesus would want to call him to order, Jesus would not call him Peter. Because if you call him Peter, it's like he's reinforcing that thing that is making Peter want to think like, I have arrived. So Jesus will have to call him by Simon. You know, say you weak, you know strong. You know strong. You think, say, you don't overcome this thing. You know strong. Let's look at first one instance. We have seen the first instance here, right? Where Jesus called him Simon, right? All right. Give me Luke 22:31. You know, there's a way God speaks to us that you know that this is God speaking and God is calling you to order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? You know when you have done something or you are overstepping your, there's a way God calls you and you know, say, it's just like our parents, our mothers here. There's a way you call us that we know. Mommy just said something now. What did you say, mommy? There is one stress. Favor. You know. Say, this one way, mama don't call me this way. It means that there's something, you know, Casalago boss with that too. For some of us, let me give you an instance, my own. So I told them, don't call me David. You all know me to be David Abi. Or my mom doesn't call me David. Huh? But when she calls me by that tribal name, or you see the tribal name, the full name is Oluwamayowa. When they say Oluwamayowa, you want to ask yourself again, like, I hope I'm civil. And the Lord said, Simon, he didn't even call him once. Yeah, I like this one. You know that he, divine. Oh, let me give you my own, Nathan. You see that? It's like, okay. We'll get back on this. Simon. Etiemelo, how do I interpret this one in English now? How many years do you have? Or how many times did I call your name? Mama, you called it once. You called it twice. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you. And so when he was calling him Simon is like, it'd be like child way any small thing could. Rain can't they fall. You can't go they play inside rain like, you know that this rain that you are playing inside, your body no carrier, you they follow divine play inside rain. Okay. Oh. So Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus said, the next verse, he said, but I have prayed for you that your faith, he said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So that, I believe that, you see that denial, this was what Jesus was referring to. All of that denial, we thought it was just denial. It was you are thinking like it's just denial, like you lie. You just feel like, is it not just lie? He's okay, say he's devil. Devil is, you are in partnership with the devil. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. He says that when you have returned, and that was why Jesus Christ came back, he didn't just do a closed door meeting to say, Piru, why you deny me 3 times now? You're not supposed to do that one. He did it with other brethren. Eh? And let me tell you, as friends, don't be afraid of receiving the rebuke of a true friend. A true friend will rebuke you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Eh? It is a true friend. Of course, the rebuke is not just what you just do anyhow. What's the commandment in love? So Jesus came back and he said, after he asked him the first question, do you love me more than this? He said, feed. So Jesus was still saying that you are still the leader. When I said, Peter, upon this rock, what you said, that's why you say you are the Lord, you are Christ, Abi. He said, and I said, upon this revelation that of this statement you made is what I will build my church. Jesus still came back. He didn't say because the guy messed up, I won't use him again. Jesus still found a worthy vessel in Peter. Jesus still found a worthy vessel in Peter. Hallelujah. So when a man is in a right mood about spiritual things, he will shrink from all comparison between himself and others. You see this, when you're in your right mood, I'm better than, you see all those ones of, I am of Apollos, I am of Paul, I preach better than this person. You run. It was Pastor Nat who was saying something recently. Oh, I saw the video. Me, I just saw the video. He said he doesn't go for all those things. I say, best song of the year. I said, this man has seen song. Have you seen that video? He said he doesn't go for all those things that you said, best song of the year or best artist of the year. He said, how do you want to determine? I said, they wrote the song for you. He said, it is Jesus who marks the script. It is not those ones. I said, listen, this man said it's coming from a depth. And meanwhile, that's what some people are dying to achieve. That's what some people are dying to achieve. Jesus, he said, I don't go for all those things. And best song of the year. God, what God is looking for is deeper than, he's looking for the heart that is singing that song. He's looking for the heart that is singing that song. So you will be free from all forms of competition when you know that this race is not giving, is not something you do from your own effort. Hallelujah. You are a man of the spirit. God bless you. I don't know why they thought of this. Okay. Some of us are from Australia. We are just... Sorry, what was our season there again? Here is winter, we? No, we are already in, we are already in winter there. We are already in winter there. We are already in winter. You guys, I don't know how you guys cope here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Have you been blessed tonight?
Yeah.
So don't stop running on your own effort. Stop running on your own energy. Submit to Jesus. Submit to the Spirit of God. You see, that one you are saying, I want to quit lying, And they say, I want to quit masturbation. You are forcing it. That's why each time you have stayed, you see, come back. It's because you have not fully allowed God to take over. If you allow God, you won't be spending the energy of the flesh anymore or your own money. It will be coming from a place of, you know, that this one is powered by the Holy Ghost. This one is not powered by, you see some of those meetings, they will say powered by, this one is powered, my life is powered by Jesus. My life is powered by Jesus. And so every time you need, or it is upon you to make a declaration, you are not making the declaration because you fasted for 40 days, you've been praying all night and all of that. Meanwhile, all of those things are good, true or false. But you are not making your assertion, your confession is not because you have done all of those things. It's still resting on what Christ has accomplished, not because you now feel like, I just finished 40 days fasting and prayer. I just finished this. I just finished that. And that's why you want to be talking like, you are not trying to force it. You are not trying to fake it. This one is still like, Jesus, you are still the one powering my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do I have anybody with question? Anybody with question? I'm right on time. Question. Oh, great. Ask me. Please hold on so that online family members can also participate. Go ahead, please.
Is that why Judas Iscariot was not saved?
Yes. Oh, thank you. Wonderful question. The question is, or let me throw it open, pastors in the house, could that be the reason why Judas Iscariot was not saved? You are making a favor. You are making comparison between Peter's denial and the acts that Judas, right? Yes. The straight answer is yes. Is yes. So there's repentance onto, what's that? There's repentance. He was repentant. Peter was repentant. But Judas was not. He was not. Peter saw that he could not help himself and that he needed a savior, and he ran back to Jesus. But Judas felt like, you know what, let me end it all by myself. So he felt guilty, but you see, that guilt was not to bring him or make him run back to the cross. He felt like he could, let me end it all myself, and that was That was it. I hope I answered your question. Now, let me stretch on that a little bit. This is one of the traps of the devil. You know, there's a way that you have done something wrong. And there's another opportunity for you to do another thing very similar to that thing you have done before. But the Spirit of the Lord is telling you, don't do this thing. And the devil comes and he whispers to you. I don't know, it happens to me. The devil tells you, you have messed up before. Now just continue messing up. Does it happen to people? Like, let's just normalize this thing. If Jesus had allowed the devil, you know, Jesus said, Satan planned to what was that? To sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. If Jesus allowed Satan to just have a free day, that would be the end of Peter. And I'm saying this to somebody, maybe you have done something wrong, but this is between you and God, and you feel like, let me just stay here. I don't need to, not because you don't want to be saved, but you are too weak in yourself to even stand up and say, Lord, help me. Peradventure, somebody is like that, receive help now in the name of Jesus. There's a way that the devil will keep you in a corner and tell you, like, you don't, just keep enjoying it. You have already done the wrong thing. You are too dirty. Your clothes is stained already. You can't see now. No. And one of the things we will begin to notice in your life is to pray becomes difficult. That's the first symptom. To pray, to study the Bible becomes difficult. Over time, if you don't allow God to step in, you see the person begins to withdraw from church. But before the person even begins to withdraw from church, you see that family, that community of believers, the person begins to avoid. And he will not pick the call again. He won't respond to the message again. Before you know it, he just stops coming to church. We have not seen you in church. Devil will not help the person to cook up like his office. But you know what? I've been following online. Pastor, and the devil will so help the person to the extent that the person will go and check the topic for the day. So that if by adventure, Pastor Tope from Pastoral Care calls like, we have not seen you. Question online. Okay. We have not seen you in a while. He said, sir, it's work. But I've been following. I even saw Pastor Shea. He was around on Sunday. He was the one who preached on Sunday. First service. Pastor Omi preached. Second service. What you have done to this man is that you have said, I followed online. But meanwhile, you and devil are in partnership. You are enjoying, and what the devil is trying to do is what Jesus said. He said, Satan has had to sift you like wheat. All right, let's take that question online. So if there's anybody in this situation, this scenario I just painted now, cry out for help. Call Pastor Tokpe, call Pastor Benga. Don't allow the devil do you strong thing for quarrel. You know those days when we don't offend ourselves for school. What do we do? We say, no worry, we know where we'll go meet ourselves. And you know, if you know, say your power, no fee match the power of that person, we tell you, say, what do? You wait for other guys that you know say, okay, go back here, so that by the time the person sees you, those people, you know, that this one, okay, let me allow him. Okay, so let's take that question. What is the place of wisdom?
Holy Spirit.
And intimacy.
In order of priority in our walk with God.
Ecclesiastes 1:17. Please, can we have Ecclesiastes 1:17-18? The person is asking, what is the place of wisdom,
Holy Spirit
and intimacy?
In order of
Holy Spirit. Oh, you want me to say Holy Spirit is second or third? Now me you want put for now me you want make I blaspheme. please, can we give a sorry, no disrespect to the person who is asking the question? Holy Spirit, it's from the Holy Spirit that every other thing is flowing. Huh? You can't have fellowship with God without the Holy Spirit. True or false? You cannot have wisdom without the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that answers Ecclesiastes. I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. I think this is talking about something entirely different from the question the person asked. And if we need to look at this, it's a new thing entirely. But to answer the person, the Holy Spirit, all the other things stem from the Holy Spirit. I think we've had enough, right? All right. Can we be on our feet? Can we be on our feet? Somebody is saying that if I have money, I've seen a scripture in this Ecclesiastes. He said there's a man that God gave wealth. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, maybe verse 12. He said God gave him wealth, but the peace to enjoy the money was withdrawn from him. Huh? Ecclesiastes, No, not. Maybe 6:1. Chapter 6 from. Okay. There's evil which I have seen. Okay. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself, for all he desires. Yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity. This is just to buttress the point that keep eating your garlic, keep eating your ginger, keep eating all of those things, but don't let it your health to say, oh, it's because I'm eating all of those things. Let it rest in God. There are people who don't smoke, who don't do all of those idukidu. They have liver problem, they have kidney problem. Keep doing all of those things, but let it not come out of your mouth to say, I cannot be sick because I took ginger. You'll be doing yourself a strong thing. So I just want us to pray for everybody this evening. Pray for help. This journey is not one that you can run in the power of the flesh. It's not a journey you can run in the power of the flesh. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I receive help in the name of Jesus. I receive help. I receive mercy. I receive help. I receive mercy. I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercies and in fear of you. I will worship. I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercies and in fear of you. I will worship towards your holy temple.